Dear Heavenly Father, we echo the words of that hymn that we just sang, that we want so much to be like you. We want to be like our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to have your compassion, your kindness, your goodness, your courage, your compassion. And Lord, I pray that you would work that in our hearts and lives as we surrender our hearts to you. I pray, Father, that as we study your word tonight, that you would do a work of grace in our hearts. I pray, Father, for those who aren't able to be with us. We thank you, Lord, for the Zoom technology that allows them to be a part of what we're doing tonight. I pray, Father, for those who can't even be on Zoom, pray that you would encourage their hearts. Pray that you would draw them close to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. I'm recording. I'm with it. Like, I don't know why, but I'm with it. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. This is actually the seventh and final message in this series on prayer that I began back in February. And it's actually the second part of the previous message on the sin of prayerlessness. As I put to you then, perhaps our greatest spiritual problem is simply prayerlessness. Praying too little, not praying when we should, and praying short prayers when we could and ought to spend longer time in prayer. Without re-preaching that message, let me just review briefly what we learned last Wednesday. We learned that prayerlessness is a sin because God's word states it that way clearly in our text and implies it in many more verses. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." Here, Samuel, the prophet, is admitting that to not pray is to sin, and he is sharing that with Saul. Prayerlessness is a sin because it is disobeying God's repeated command to pray always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And Luke chapter 18, verse 1, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart." So those sample verses there make it very clear that we are sinning if we don't pray because we're disobeying his command to pray and pray often. We also saw the consequences. Well, furthermore, prayerlessness is a sin because it leaves the door wide open for all other sins. This ought to scare us. Mark chapter 14, verse 38, the Lord Jesus said, "Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You need to remember, our flesh is weak. And if we're not watching and praying, and that has the idea of continually, don't quit, keep on doing this, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. So if we don't pray, when we leave wide open times without praying, we're just opening the door for temptation to come in because our flesh is looking for that opportunity, unfortunately. So those are reasons why prayerlessness is a sin. We also saw the consequences of the sin of prayerlessness. When we do not pray for them, God's people's needs are not met. Whether it be guidance for decisions, supply of financial needs, alleviation of physical suffering, or grace for difficult situations, we don't have these things because we don't ask the Lord for them. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. So when we don't pray for these things, then God's people's needs are not met. Can you turn off that phone that doesn't come on? No, you need to need. Okay, just turn it off during the prayer time. Okay, thank you. All right. Another consequence of the sin of prayerlessness is that God's work suffers, and countless souls go to hell because we do not pray. We find in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, and he, speaking of Christ, was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So what the Lord is saying here is, if we're not praying and asking God to work in people's hearts to give them a burden to go out and witness to the lost, then there will be people who will not hear the gospel, and therefore will go on into an eternity without Christ. Another passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. So here the Apostle Paul is saying, pray for us that the Lord will open a door for the gospel to be spread to as many people as possible, open their hearts and open opportunities. And so if we don't pray, people will go to hell. So if you did not get to hear that previous message, I encourage you to download it from our website and listen to that sometime this week. Now, let's go on to the last two major points. So really, it's a long message that we cut up into two Wednesday prayer meetings. So here we come with the last part of this longer message. The causes of the sin of prayerlessness. We don't pray because we don't love God. We don't find joy in his presence. Be honest, the things you do when you have finished your work and other duties and have free time and have a choice, are they not the things that you really enjoy? The people you really love, are they not the ones you make time to be with? God can clearly see our hearts, no matter what we might claim outwardly. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, the Lord Jesus said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. So furthermore, we don't pray because we don't truly believe God's promises. Not only do we not love him enough to take the time to talk to him in prayer, but we don't pray because we don't truly believe God's promises. Be honest, again, if you believed God's promises about answering your prayers, would you not be eager to go to him in prayer about a very great many things? No, your reluctance to spend time in prayer, other than that which your conscience requires, is a clear indicator that you really don't believe he will answer your prayers. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So we don't pray as we ought to, first of all, because we don't truly love God as we should. Secondly, because we don't truly believe his promises as we should. And thirdly, we don't pray because we are lazy. True prayer is hard work, and our flesh doesn't like to work any more than it has to. Think about it. True prayer demands thought, concentration, and persistence. Notice our Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring. And here it translates the Greek word agonizomai, from which we get our word agonize. agonizomai, meaning to wrestle or struggle, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Please don't misunderstand me here. I'm not implying that you have to pray until blood or even just sweat runs down your brow. But notice that Epaphras labored earnestly for others in prayer. And that Greek verb, as I said, translated labor, is a word from which we get our word agonize. And this is reminding us that effective prayer is hard work that requires your whole heart and full concentration. It may very well turn to a time of tears. Been there, done that. So we don't pray as we ought to, first of all, because we don't truly love God. Secondly, because we don't really believe his promises. And thirdly, because we simply are lazy. And finally, we don't pray because we have become sidetracked by less important things. Whatever keeps you from praying has become more important to you than God. And that's the classic definition of an idol. Anything that's more important than God. So cut through all these rationalizations and confess it for what it is, idolatry. We've considered the four main causes of prayerlessness. Now let's get to the cure for the sin of prayerlessness. I don't want you to be so overcome with conviction that you leave just with slumped shoulders and sad hearts. No, listen, I want to leave you with something joyful. The cure for the sin of prayerlessness. Confess it as the sin that it is, a sin of disobedience and unbelief and lazy neglect. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Set aside the best time of the day and a quiet place each day to meet with God. Then pray. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. Hebrew word can also be translated early, as the King James Version does. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. In Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Notice, with all your heart, not half-heartedly, but with all your heart. Mark 1, verse 35, speaking of Jesus, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. I would simply comment here that although usually early morning is the best time for a quiet, undistracted time of prayer, at least it is for me, it could be that in your schedule, late evening or even noon is a better time. Give God your best time of the day, whatever that is, when you're awake and alert and undistracted. Make prayer your first reaction to everything, rather than worry or grumbling or anger or depression when circumstances come into your life. When trouble comes, pray right away. Smash your thumb, pray. Lose your contact lens, talk to God about it. Been there, done that for many, many years. Experience rejection, give it to the Lord in prayer. When you're faced with a decision, pray right away about it. Ask him for wisdom. When someone tells you of a need, pray right away for it. Ask the Lord to provide what is best for that person. I still remember, and Brenda probably remembers, when I would lose something. I misplaced it. I do that a lot, right, hon? And at first I would say, oh, where did it go? And look and look and look. So finally I said, what a dummy. I need to ask the Lord to help me find it. And I talked to the Lord about it, and it isn't more than a couple of minutes, the Lord leads me to the right place. I said, why did I waste all that time? Why didn't I go to the Lord first? And I started doing that more often, going to the Lord first. So make prayer your first reaction to everything. So confess prayerlessness to God as the sin that it is. Choose the best time and the quietest place to pray. Make prayer your first reaction, not your last resort. And then read regularly, and I would suggest at least once a week, a Bible account of prayer and its results. Keep a journal of a prayer times in the Bible when somebody prayed or when God's word talks about prayer. And find one of these and read that at least once a week. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Here's an example. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. There's something I like to read regularly. And remember that when you pray, God answers. He can answer in marvelous ways. I would add to this that you would benefit greatly from reading good books by and about great men and women of prayer. Praying Hyde, Hyde. He was well known for his prayer life. So find a book about him. It's written in the previous century, okay? But wow, what a blessing it is to read how God used him, burdened him to pray, and how he prayed so often, and God answered marvelously. George Mueller, I think I remember talking about him this past Sunday in the message. A great man of prayer. Adoniram Judson, and another Hudson, Hudson Taylor. Okay, Adoniram Judson and Hudson Taylor, two missionaries who were great prayer warriors. John R. Rice, in fact, wonderful biographies about him and that describe their prayer life and God's answers. E.M. Bounds, Bounds, E.M. Bounds. And most recently, I've been reading about J.O. Frazier, who's a missionary to China, to specifically to the Lisu people, people group who were in the mountains there in China. Just read about them. It will encourage your heart. When I read recently about J.O. Frazier and his prayer and what God did in answer, it just encourages my heart and it reminds me of how important prayer is. May I say in closing the same thing I said last week, that the only way to overcome the sin of prayerlessness is to pray. The only way to overcome the cause of the sin of prayerlessness is to pray. You see, once you begin in earnest to talk to God, you'll get to know him better and will grow in your love for him and in your desire to fellowship with him. The love for prayer comes from the decision to pray carried out consistently until the flesh is weakened and the Holy Spirit is allowed to have his rightful place on the throne of your heart. You notice when you commit to this that your flesh is going to be fighting you big time. You get sleepy, you'll have itches, you'll have pains, you'll have all sorts of distractions, and just don't give up. Just give it to the Lord and ask him to help you to keep praying. And as you do that, God will give you greater grace to pray. What a blessing that will be. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. As you know, I say this pretty often, but I don't usually have an invitation after Wednesday prayer or Wednesday challenge from God's Word, but I really think that God wants us to think about this and apply it. Don't want what we heard tonight to just get erased from our memories and we won't think about it again, but really think through it. Has the Holy Spirit been speaking to your heart today as the message was preached from God's Word? Has He shown you that you need to pray more? That you need to make prayer your first resort, not your last resort? If you sometime during this message have said or are saying to God right now, by God's grace, by His Spirit's enablement, I will make prayer a priority in my life. I will pray. Would you tell the Lord that right now, sincerely? If you'd like me to know so I can pray for you, just let me know by raising your hand. God, speak to my heart about praying more. And by God's grace, I'm going to do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for reminding us of how important it is to pray, that it's a command, and how often we forget that it's a command. And Lord, we realize that when we don't pray, we are opening ourselves up to more temptation, that we are weakened spiritually. Lord, I pray that you would just work in our hearts in such a way that we will make prayer a priority in our lives, that we may grow closer to you, that we may love you more as we spend time in your word and in prayer. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will be encouraged, our faith will be strengthened as we see you answer our prayers. And as you guide us into what to pray and how to pray, and as we grow in this journey of prayer, Lord, I pray that we would become prayer warriors for you, and that your name would be glorified, and that you would work mightily in our midst as we look to you to answer these prayer requests that we have. Now, Lord, as we go in just a minute to share prayer requests, I pray that we would not forget these prayer requests, that we would take them with us and pray for them tomorrow, next day, the next day, and Lord, that we would take to ourselves the burden of these prayer requests that are shared with us tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.